Welcome to our Acre Pro Buy Sell segment with Mike Carmen, Purdue men's basketball, handling the Boilermakers as Purdue takes off. Well, they're not taking off yet. They're going to be, I think they're getting on a bus, would be my guess, heading to Columbus for obviously what will be a busy weekend, hopefully, if you're a Purdue fan, from Friday and Monday, and Friday and Sunday, I should say. I've sent shockwaves to Mike Carmi since Monday. What's that? They're not going to Monday. So, but no, we appreciate acrepro.com and Kyle Spray and Company. They have a new phone number that you need to think about if you want to talk to Kyle Spray, 765-775-6502. That's 765-775-6502. Kyle Spray and the folks at Acre Pro, when you are looking at buying or selling farm real estate, can't find a better place than those guys. And they've been a great support to us all year. We appreciate that. This is a buy sell segment. So this is some hard hitting journalistic impressions of what we're going to see or what Mike is going to buy or sell. He's not going to buy any farm real estate, I don't think, in the near term, I'm guessing. But we have a lot of questions coming out with Purdue men's basketball and the women, too, as they head to the NCAA tournament. And I guess the first thing, and I know you had availability with Matt Painter earlier today, any news and note, anything you're buying and selling, anything different coming out from what the coach had to say about an opponent he doesn't know yet, whether it'll be Texas Southern or Fairleigh Dickinson?
No, he doesn't know yet. it was humorous, as Matt usually is. They were asking about not knowing who you're going to play, which is odd in the NCAA tournament. Purdue's never had that situation. And he goes, well, always, like in the Big Ten tournament, he always asks his assistants, he goes, well, who do you think we're going to play? And the consensus may be Team A. Then he automatically says, well, we're going to play Team B then, because usually these guys are wrong. And that's the way it kind of works out. So I don't know if they have a favorite. I don't know if they are counting on one team over the other, but based on just little information that's coming out, it appears FDU would be kind of the team that Purdue would expect to play. And now whether that comes to fruition or not, I have no idea. But, you know, Matt was, he talked about that, and, you know, he got asked questions about the handling the press and what, you know, what they need to do better. And can, you know, can Zach Edey be a bit of an outlet for them in some situations? So, you know, all that video is up at goldenblack.com and stuff like that. The only really news was that the person I'm filling in for, as I am a temporary, Brian Newbert showed up at practice today, and I had him go over and ask Fletcher Lawyer, because he was wearing a white knee pad in the second half of the game on Sunday. And I think it's been common knowledge that Fletcher had been dealing with a calf issue earlier this year. He says that's fine, but he had landed on his knee enough times that it became a little bit bruised, and therefore he put the knee pad on in the second half. If he falls on it again, it softens the blow a little bit. But I do think his legs, whether it's the calf or the knee, probably is hampering his jump shot a little bit. From an elevation standpoint. And it's not the sole reason why he's whatever, has two baskets in the last two games, but it could, you know, probably playing a role there a little bit of making sure that he can get his jump shot the way that he wants. And it's no secret that he's not been as effective shooting wise, but, you know, I think he's getting good shots. And I thought the two shots that he hit against Penn State and Ohio State were ones that you thought, okay, would get him going, but they didn't. But those were the main tidbits that come out of practice today.
Well, you know, that knee pad thing is coming handy, because that poor Fletcher has been on the floor, whether it's been because he's tried to drive the basket and gravity took its toll. I don't know what it is, but he's been on the floor, knocked to the floor, whatever it is, a ton in the last 8 to 10 games. And that's going to be one of the interesting storylines. So I wasn't going to ask, as I know you're not a Texas Southern, or I'm guessing, I shouldn't say I know that you're not an expert of Texas Southern or Fairleigh Dickinson. I thought that I read, maybe I'm wrong, that Texas Southern at 14-20 was actually a favorite, an odds on. That line may have changed. as I always say, I don't gamble on this one, especially Fairleigh Dickinson versus Texas Southern, but it does present an interesting challenge just from a timing standpoint, I guess. You've got basically 48 hours to prepare, and that is what it is. But that 1-16 matchup, everybody is on alert when it comes to that, just because of what happened in Virginia and Maryland, Baltimore County back in the day. But my first buy sell to you is buying or selling that Matt Painter will keep Fletcher Lawyer in the starting lineup. What do you say there?
Oh, I'll buy that. I don't think there's a need to change. Now you can regulate the minutes however you want, but I don't think it's necessary to change the starting lineup right now. I think David is comfortable coming off the bench. That's what he's done all year. It doesn't guarantee he's going to continue on the hot shooting streak that he's on right now. It'll probably drop off a little bit because he got on one of those heaters earlier in the year, and then it went the opposite direction. But that's life as a 3-point shooter. Now I'd buy to keep Fletcher in the lineup. And again, he's getting good shots. The teams are trying to take him out of the game. They're being more physical with him. They're not letting him catch and shoot as much as he has. You're this deep in the season that you're going to roll with the lineup. You're going to roll with the guys that have brought you this far. And, maybe they don't pay as much attention to him, and that frees him up a little bit to get going.
Yeah, I think he's too good a basketball player. He does too many of the things well. And I couldn't agree more about David Jenkins. I think he sits where he's sitting right now, which has been very good the last several games, and really has been such an inspiration, I think, to his teammates just about how he's handled himself. And that has continued to be one of the storylines that you just wrote about for the site again as well here over the last 48 hours. But, you look at that, and I guess my question is, I know everybody's out busy filling out their brackets. You buying and selling first, is it going to be Memphis or Florida Atlantic? And again, I don't, it's probably an unfair question. I don't know how much you've looked at those two teams because Purdue hasn't playing them yet. But on the surface, Memphis obviously had the big win against Houston. Florida Atlantic has been kind of a talk of the tournament type team. But if you had to pick one right now, and if Purdue, you're making that assumption, which can be dangerous, that Purdue will get to Sunday in Columbus. But what would you see? Do you think Memphis is a odds-on favorite from your perspective?
Well, I'm not convinced on Memphis because they beat Houston and Houston didn't have Marcus Strasser.
Yeah.
And Houston had nothing to play for in that game. And not that Memphis is not qualified to beat Florida Atlantic. I would probably buy Florida Atlantic in this situation.
Interesting. Because
I think they're hungry.
Yeah.
And just based on the little knowledge that I've come up with, I think they feel like they've been slighted, okay. Like they don't feel like they are a 9 seed, or I think they're a 9, but
yeah, they are.
They don't feel like they should have been in the 8-9 game. So I think they're going to be motivated to prove people wrong, and I would probably give them the edge right now based on that, because March is about desperation and playing at a desperation level, and I think that they're going to do that. Not that Memphis won't, but I think Florida Atlantic, they've had a really good year.
Yeah.
They've been one of those teams that one of those mid-major teams that, they haven't been on top of the radar, but they've been just right below it. I think they got ranked this week in the AP poll at number 25. People have noticed what they've done, and I would go with them just kind of all the things I kind of outlined there. I like kind of the attitude they have right now, and I think that will serve them well in the game. Doesn't mean they won't turn it over, they won't miss shots and all that kind of stuff. But I would buy them right now.
Got to do the contrarian view to some extent, just because, and I'm not saying that there's I don't know where the money is on that game just yet, because again, it's going to be one of those interesting storylines on Friday night. They'll play, I believe, what they're playing after Purdue, right? Night. And, that will be the game following the Boilermakers and either Fairleigh Dickinson and not and or or Texas Southern, I should say. All right, you looked at the bracket, the East region of, you know, I don't know. Are you buying that Purdue, this is going to be a two-part buy-sell question. Are you buying that Purdue is in the most difficult region of the four? Do you buy that?
I think they're all difficult.
I couldn't agree more.
I don't know how you say one is more difficult than the other, because everybody's so compact together this year. There's no super team, all that kind of stuff. So I think they're all difficult. They all have their challenges. I mean, if Purdue was going to trade places with another number one seed, who would you trade places with?
Yeah.
And how would you feel about that? Do you want to be the number one seed in Vegas and have Kansas, or not Kansas, or the have a Texas or have an Arizona as a number two there, or who's ever in the four or five game and in the four seeds and all that kind of stuff, or the eight nines? Do you potentially want to play an Arkansas who is going to play, I believe, Illinois in an 8-9 game? So, I mean, I think they're all tough. Now, I think the East has more blue bloods in it. Therefore, I think people look at that and say, well, that's tougher because you have Duke, which is playing tremendous right now. And you have Kentucky in that region. You've got a really hot Marquette team that just won the Big East tourney and the Big East regular season. And they just played in Madison Square Garden. You've got Tennessee, which got off to a great start, but they've had some injuries here and they've kind of limped to the finish line a little bit. So I don't know. And you still got Michigan State in there as a seventh seed and future Big Ten matchup with USC. And so I think they're all tough. And I don't know if you trade places, whether it gets any better than anybody else. So I'm not really buying it's the toughest region, because I think they're all difficult and they all present their own challenges.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think you're spot on. I just can't see. Yes, I think Purdue, it's a murderer's row only because the name's on the front of the jersey. Now, and I also think too, and again, this is silly talk, but this is what we do. And that is, you know, I like the fact, I think confidence is a key thing. I think there is something about mentally getting over the hump, even though this team has nothing to do with the 2019 team or anything else. But I think the fact that if you would happen to face Marquette, or you wouldn't play Duke, I guess, in the Elite Eight final, you would obviously play them in the regional, the first games of the regional. But my point is that these are teams you've beaten. You can look across. If you have some young players that haven't played, I don't think this team really lacks confidence at all. But I think you do look across the way and say, you know, Marquette, we've beaten Duke handily. Now, Marquette was a lot tougher of a game, as we all know, but you beat Michigan State if you happen to play the Spartans. That has to count, at least for the psyche of the fans, though. I don't know. The fans are all nervous. They can't deal with anything right now, and I get it. But it just seems to me that makes some sense that if it's Marquette, that actually could play to your advantage. So Marquette's playing extremely well.
Well, Duke's playing extremely well. And
I'm not asking if you buy it. I'm saying, what's that?
No, I'm just saying, I mean, Duke's playing extremely well, too, and it's a different team than the one Purdue played. But your point is taken. I mean, Purdue took Duke to the woodshed out in Oregon. And that's, you know, Duke has a young team, and some guys have really developed. But it's interesting to hear people talk about Duke now, because I don't think the national people that talk about Duke understand or realize that Purdue beat Duke in November, because they talk about them like, well, they'll be able to handle a guy like Zach Edey, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's like, well, no, they didn't in November.
No.
I mean, they didn't handle him in November. Doesn't mean they won't handle him now, but there is a confidence there from Purdue's standpoint with the three teams that they beat that they feel like they will be able to compete with anybody. Same with Marquette, even though Marquette had a 9-point lead late in the second half, and Purdue was able to come back. And so I think it helps them that they've beaten those teams, but you also, having to do it again at this stage with everything on the line, and Duke and Marquette are two of the teams that are trending up in a big way, where the perception of Purdue is they're not trending up in a big way. They are trending up, but not, maybe the arrow isn't pointing as high as those other two teams.
And I think the last 5 minutes of the Penn State game have something to do with that. I mean, in terms of just the way that game ended and the fact that it wasn't a slam dunk from that, at least from the fan base standpoint, and maybe from a national perspective, because that game, everybody was kind of watching that game and saw that Purdue. Do you buy or sell that notion that maybe if Purdue's not, it doesn't matter to anything, but is that maybe a reason why people think that Purdue's not trending up, or has it just been their February missteps? I mean, how do you view that? Because I agree with you. It's a common notion right now. Everybody's kind of, I haven't read any of the quote unquote experts. Maybe I've missed a few that really are giving Purdue or looking at Purdue as a team that's going to come out of that regional.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think part of what happened Sunday, but also you factor in the Illinois game where they had a 24-point lead and it got tied right late. You factor in the Rutgers game where, you know, Purdue had a seemingly comfortable lead, and then it changed. And a little bit to the Ohio State game where Purdue mm-hmm. got up and then Ohio State got its legs back. So, and it's, you know, we can go to the Iowa game at home in early February yeah. and yeah. some other games where they
– The trend.
It is a trend, and they've got to figure out a way to keep their foot on the gas. And I do think something happens – and anybody that has played sports kind of understands this. And it's not really anything you can practice, but once you kind of lose your grip on something, it's hard to get back, especially in these situations where you have a desperate team trying to win a championship in Penn State's case, or Rutgers' case, trying to stay alive, and Ohio State the same way, and Illinois the week before trying to improve its position. Sure. At some point, you have to match that intensity, match that desperation to push yourself over the hump. But it also and to me, it's not always about the press. And I know that's a big, big centerpiece of what people talk about with Purdue at the end of the game. Yes, the press is a factor, but they're also missing free throws. Mm-hmm. They're also not, you know, Zach misses a couple shots close to the rim that he hit earlier in the game. They don't go in. So there's some other factors going on there that would help you extend the lead, and not that anybody expects them to be perfect. Well, maybe the fan base does, but you're not going to be perfect all the time. But those are key moments and key situations where you do have to extend that lead. And extending a 6-point lead to 8 is a big deal with 2 minutes to go, and so on and so forth. You know, I don't think I've seen Fletcher Laurier miss 2 free throws in a row all year. So there's things like that happen that go against you. And yes, Purdue had a couple silly turnovers at the end of the game that really magnified the situation. But the press is a factor, but it's not all about the press. There's some other things going on where they have to clean up and they have to be better. Or the other thing is get a 50-point lead with 10 minutes to go, and then maybe you don't have to hang on for dear life.
Yeah, they only cut it to 27. Yeah, no, I mean, Brian Newbert wrote that, and his 3 thoughts from the weekend about there really isn't any data to support Purdue actually against the press has done in relative words. And he's right. And you bring up kind of the same point. You never look good against the press or you rarely look good against the press in a frantic situation. And yes, Brandon Newman's pass was an all-time bad pass. We get that. And he probably won't do that again, but Fletcher Laurier missing 2 free throws. Like you said, Ethan Morton missing free throws down the stretch. These are guys who usually, I know Ethan's not the free throw shooter, quite the free throw shooter that Laurier is. But, they did a lot of other things as well. All things that they can't do, though, at crunch time against a really good team when the lights are on. That is, I think, one of the, you know, as you've well documented, that's a key factor for Purdue as Purdue hopes to march through some level of let's be honest, they want to get to the Final Four like everybody in the Purdue fan base. And that's what they're going to have to do to get there. They got to clean some of that stuff up. All right, I want to ask you, because I know you've been spending burning the midnight oil, doing the every bracket challenge, including the on 3 bracket challenge, I'm sure. And I'm not gonna put you on the spot about Purdue, but I will put you on the spot about who are you buying as of the other Big Ten, the 7 other Big Ten teams. Still hard to believe that Rutgers didn't make it, from in my view, but how do you look at the other 7 and say, If you had to buy somebody, who are you going to buy?
To be honest, I wouldn't buy any of them. I don't trust the Big Ten this year. I just don't. I mean, I can't. You know, there's a couple eight seeds that have to go through a number one, which I don't. They're not going to match up well, and they're going to have a hard time winning those games. I think Michigan State's got a tough game against USC, and then if they play Marquette, the way Marquette's playing right now, I mean, I go down the list. I'm just not Indiana's got a really tough matchup with Kent State, first of all, but then Miami of Florida, you know, which I think is a very dangerous team in this tournament. They come out of the ACC and they won the regular season title. I think a lot of people have kind of overlooked them, but they're long and athletic on the perimeter. And they have a familiar player that Purdue's aware of with Nigel Pack. I think they're a really solid team. And this is a team that made it to the Elite Eight last year and lost to Kansas in Chicago. So I think that's going to be a tough matchup for Indiana if it gets to that point. And in Penn State, you're dependent on 3-point shooting to carry you. Maybe in a weekend situation that happens a little bit, but throughout the tournament, it's not. I don't think there's enough data that tells you that you can shoot 48% from three for six games or for three games or whatever it is. I think it's going to be tough. I think their lack of a big man and lack of size inside will probably come back and hurt them a little bit in these games. So I'm not a fan of the other Big Ten teams, to be honest. I don't know if anybody will get to the Sweet 16. I think Purdue's got the best shot. But I'll be surprised if anyone does win two games this week.
Well, we had an internet little snafu, then we lost you, but you followed it up well. I think you're right. Anna, as I said, I think earlier, may have been recorded that Indiana shows they look the part and they've played the part at times, but can they do it two games in a row? And their loss to Penn State and the way they lost to Penn State.
This is a new one for
Zoom. I don't know, maybe it's because the weather in West Lafayette. I'm not sure what's causing the problem, but I said in the last part of the recording that nobody's shown that they can do it two games in a row, and I think that's a big part of it. So before we get shut off again, we're going to put an end to this one. Mike, thanks so much. Have a safe travels to Columbus. You will be covering a lot. You're going to be also covering some women's basketball. We didn't even get to that question. I'm afraid we're going to go blank again. You'll be covering Fairleigh Dickinson versus Texas Southern. You can pull up your popcorn and watch that one. You'll see Katie Gerald's and at least talk to them prior to their press conference on that's Thursday. I'm getting my days screwed up, but
they play Thursday.
Yeah, and they're in a situation where you'll get a chance to see what the Boilermakers do there, and obviously with all your coverage on the men as they play on Thursday. That's right. You're not going to be able to see the women's game on Thursday because they're at the same time of Purdue's availability, right? So,
no,
I got the whole schedule all screwed up.
I'll be at the game.
I'll let you clarify. Go ahead.
I'll be at the game on Thursday. Purdue's availability is earlier in the day, in the afternoon. So my plan is to go from availability to the game, so yeah, I may show up.
Going to cover the game. Yeah, and, Purdue, St. John's, and the women. And you, are you okay? I'm going to ask you, since we're still functioning here. Are you buying that they can beat St. John's in 11 versus 11 matchup in Katie Gerald's team? Nothing's been easy for at any point in time, but would they be the favorite in that game? Or I could probably not, since they're both 11 seeds. But how do you look at that one?
I would buy that they can win. You know, St. John's is going to make it a low possession game. It's going to be a grinder type of thing. If Purdue can get out in full court and do some things in transition with Abby Ellis, you know, running the show at the point guard, hitting the boards hard and be able to start some fast breaks, they might be able to put some distance between them and St. John's, at least get a lead. You know, Katie joked today that it might be the first one to 55 in this game, just based on the style that St. John's yeah. played. Now, St. John's beat UConn a couple weeks ago, so they have that confidence coming into this game. But it's already a win for Katie and her team and her program this year by getting to the tournament, but you add another layer to that if you get at least one win in the NCAA tournament, something you can go out and sell to potential portal transfers and recruits. You know, they had two players on the Indiana All-Star team today.
Yeah,
he wants to keep the best players at home, and maybe this is a step in doing that. And you know, winning a game in the NCAA tournament would really enhance what she's trying to do here.
All right, we got to jump out of this because we are continuing to have a little bit of technical challenges. I'm challenged by nature, but we appreciate it. Mike, safe travels. We'll look forward to your coverage. We want to thank Kyle Spray and the good folks at AcrePro.com for their sponsorship of this. AcrePro.com for all your land and farm management needs and sales. It's 765-775-6502. We'll get you directly to Kyle Spray, and he can help you out with that. So we'll look forward to doing another one. It'll either be a season wrap-up, or we'll be looking ahead to the Sweet 16 in New York City next week at this time as the Boilermakers. That is a Thursday-Saturday sequence if Purdue can make it to Madison Square Garden. So, all right. Thanks again for everybody for watching or listening, and have a great rest of your week.